Blog Talk Radio.
Baby, you can drive my car. Yes, I'm gonna be a star. Baby, you can drive my car. And maybe I love you. Beep, 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 yeah.
Welcome to the Wedding 101 Radio Show. Hello, my name is David Rothstein. This program was designed to be a helpful resource to both brides and grooms as well as wedding professionals. It was created to give listeners real insights from the top wedding professionals in the nation. Each new show features a wedding professional from a different aspect of wedding planning: photographers, caterers, wedding planners, florists, venues, and many more. These interviews will give you lots of great ideas how to get the best results for your wedding. Wedding vendors can also learn from fellow professionals. If you have a great idea for a guest or a topic, please let me know, and we hope you enjoy today's radio show. We are thrilled to get a radio legend on our program here, and he is the one and only Paul Bryan from Drive Chicago. He's been on WLS AM for many, many years. And before we start our interview, let me tell you a little bit about Paul. For 20 years, Paul Bryan served as the Director of Communications and Spokesman for the Chicago Automobile Trade Association, that's CATA. The trade group is the nation's oldest and largest franchise new car dealer organization. CATA is best known to the general public as the producer of the nation's biggest auto show every February at McCormick Place. Bryan is responsible for corporate, consumer, and marketing communications for the trade group. I'm sure many of you have been to the Chicago Auto Show, and it's absolutely an amazing, amazing time. If you haven't gone, I absolutely encourage you to go next year. Paul is a 35-year veteran of Chicago Broadcaster. His weekly WLS radio show, Drive Chicago, has been twice recognized as the nation's best automotive program by the International Automotive Media Association. Now in its 18th year on the air, the Drive Chicago host is one of the nation's best-known and respected automotive industry experts, focusing on the local, national, and global automotive scenes. He is the past president of the Midwest Automotive Media Association and the recipient of two Midwest Emmy Awards from the National Academy of Television Arts and Science for production of television specials featuring the Chicago Auto Show. Bryan is the recipient of a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Legends of Motorsport Guild for his support and activities surrounding the sport he loves. Paul has been recognized with rarely presented lifetime membership into the Sports Car Club of Chicago, where he was cited for his countless hours of years of promoting our sports, its events, and the safety and spirit of the group's competitors. And we are absolutely thrilled to welcome to the program the legendary Paul Bryan.
Hey, good morning. Or hello, I should say. It's morning when we're recording, anyway. So.
Exactly. You never know where people are or where they're going to be listening from.
No.
Exactly. So today's program, I know this is a wedding-related program. So one of the biggest purchases that couples make once they're married is getting a car. And like any major purchase, when you have two people involved, it does require some compromises so that everybody can get the car that they need.
Negotiating. Friendly negotiating.
Exactly. Whether you're buying a car and negotiating with the dealership or buying a car and negotiating with your spouse,
exactly.
There are definitely some adjustments that you need to make. How can they make some compromises so that everybody can get a car that works well for them, not only what they want, but really what they need?
Well, you know, you can actually pretty much find something that will fit the need category and still have elements of the want category. Now, you can't go into disparate big swings in that. You can't need a minivan and have on your want list a two-door convertible sports car. I mean, that's not going to work. However, if you want to look at the elements that you want to have in a sporting type vehicle, you can find them in sport utility vehicles, for instance. And I think once you get with whoever it is you're choosing to spend the rest of your life, you have to say, okay, look, here's what we need right now, but let's look into the crystal ball a little bit further downfield. And see if we can find something that's going to meet a lot of those needs. You can find, a crossover vehicle that would fit, let's call this the left-hand side, the sensible side of your choice, and still find something that's going to be coming from the right side as well. geez, I was just down in Austin, Texas a couple of weeks ago test driving the new Jeep Grand Cherokee SRT. And when you think of a Jeep Grand Cherokee, you think, wow, okay, it's a nice vehicle, but it's pretty utilitarian. When Chrysler made the SRT version of that, they said, wow, you know what? We've got all of the bits here that we can make this thing a fire-breathing dragon. And part of the test, half of the day that we spent, in the 2 days that we were on that car, was at the Circuit of the Americas in Austin, where the Formula One race for America is held.
Wow, that would have been so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, we were hot-lapping COTA and Jeeps, and even those of us who have been doing this for a long time, we get out, take off our helmet, and scratch our head, and we go, whoa, what was that all about?
Right, that's fun.
So I think that you can find elements to go both ways. The other thing, of course, is to go the two-vehicle route.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then that gives you, obviously, a great deal of other latitude.
What about little things like certain features that you want to have? Maybe somebody needs to have leather seats or heated seats, or somebody wants a V6 versus a V4. How do you kind of – should they sit down and maybe – you know, you make a list of the things that are most important to you, and I'll make my list, and let's see what we're willing to negotiate. Is that a pretty good scheme for?
Yeah, I mean,
like
you can negotiate those things, but you know what? They're really becoming more and more standard and more universal in their appeal. If you were to look 5 years ago at heated seats, or one of the reasons why the Al-Qaeda hate us, heated steering wheels, you know, when we got that, they just went all goofy on us. But heated steering wheels are the most civilized thing you can imagine, at least here in Chicago. But 5 years ago, heated seats were a rarity, and now they're becoming much, much more the norm in cars, especially in this climate. You know, when dealers purchase their vehicles from the factory for inventory, they're saying, okay, what am I getting requests for from people walking through the door? And that's called a take rate.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are taking? And the take rates on options like heated seats are way up there. Take rates on other things just from the basic architecture of the vehicle. All-wheel drive vehicles in northern climates are becoming really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
Jaguar, for instance, for the first time ever, is now offering all-wheel drive Jaguar sedans in their XF and their XJ. And as long as we're on that brand, when you look at a Jaguar, you always think, okay, this is a very high-performance vehicle, and I'm just going to have to toss away any kind of expectation I might have for fuel economy. Well, they're working on that, too, because now they've come out with a 2-liter turbocharged engine for the XF, their midsize vehicle. And I drove it here about a month ago, spent a week with that car. I really didn't miss, you know, an 8 or a healthy 6 in that car. It really did what it needed to do very, very admirably.
Okay.
And still delivered wonderful gas mileage. So everybody's looking at all of these different elements, and through the industry is really searching now for every extra tenth, half, whatever they can get in miles per gallon because of what are incredibly stupid regulations that we've got from the EPA and from the Department of Transportation in terms of unattainable EPA CAFE standards. I have no idea what they're thinking. It's like they have this wish list and they made everybody sign on board and put a gun to their head and said, oh yeah, we're going to be able to do 54 miles per gallon. But doubling the miles per gallon for the whole national fleet, it's not going to happen, folks. It ain't going to happen.
Right.
I mean, the only way that you can do something like that is to make a car incredibly light. And when you have light cars, no matter what kind of composite materials you use to achieve that reduction in weight, you've got what are called the laws of physics. And if you have a very light vehicle and you come up in competition against a very heavy vehicle, guess who's going to win?
Of course, right.
So there are even actuaries who look at this and they say for every mile per gallon of increase, which causes X number of pounds decrease in the vehicle, it's going to cost you X number of lives. And at some point or other, people are going to wake up and say, okay, I'm not willing to trade my life for increased fuel economy when we've got other options out there. And I'm talking far beyond electric vehicles or hybrid vehicles.
Well, that's probably intimidating for a lot of people because there are so many fantastic cars that are out there right now, and everybody's got their opinions and everybody's got their views of, you know, the mother-in-law says, oh, you got to get this. This is the new hottest thing. And then, well, it's a trade-off here. And I think probably, I don't know if you'd agree with this, but before you go car shopping, just in the same way that brides and grooms always ask me what's the best venue to have, is before you go looking all over the place, because as you mentioned, there are Jaguars, there's Jeeps, there's Hummers, there's sports cars. Find out what your lifestyle is. What are you using your car for? Are you basically just running around town? Do you do a lot of long road trips? Do you have all your friends, you know, in cars? Are you planning on having children soon? And then make your decisions kind of based on that once you have a clear idea. Because if you just randomly walk into a showroom and they've got, you know, maybe a dozen different types of cars that you can select from, you're going to just be all over the place. And it doesn't help them. It doesn't help the dealer. It doesn't help you.
No.
And,
Nobody wins in that. It's a horrible thing. And dealers now are really counting on, and thankfully the public has responded well to the amount of information that's out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from a radio show like mine to any of a dozen different websites you could go to get opinions on what's going on in the industry and help you narrow down your focus to what you're looking for before you go to the dealer itself. Because, you know, you just go through some real automotive schizophrenia. If you walk in and your head starts spinning, you're going, I don't know what in the world I want.
Yeah, and there's so many variations on things and different, and you can be talked into things maybe you never thought of or that you really don't need. So the better of a clear idea of the type of car, even, you know, maybe the color, different colors of cars, which I know for a lot of people is certainly a big part of buying a car, getting the right compromise of a color, better of a picture you could have of what kind of car, well, not only what style, but what brand and what features you're looking for, the easier the process is going to be, and you can eliminate a lot of the stuff that may be kind of just standing in the way, because it's not going to help you get the car you want. It's going to drive the dealership nuts, and it's going to waste a lot of time for everybody. So with all the information that's out there, it's always in your best interest, not only for buying a car, but for any other aspect of planning your wedding. The more educated you can be, which is a big purpose why I started this Wedding 101 radio show, is that people, the more you know, the better results you're going to get. And the people that spend the time, you know, an extra, you know, couple hours of doing the research ahead of time will save thousands or hundreds of hours of wandering around aimlessly into dealerships.
Yeah, and you want to hear something that once you get it, you're not going to be kicking yourself in the butt, you know, for the 3 or 4 years that you own it and saying, I wish I would have had that. I didn't even know they made that. You mean I could have had a heated steering wheel? You mean I could have had a 4 or a 6 or an 8 or a W16, whatever it might be?
Right.
It just makes you a happier consumer for the time that you own that purchase. And for most people, it's the second largest investment that they make. And for young married couples, it's the biggest until they go ahead and wind up buying a home. And Lord knows in this economy, it's tough doing that. So the car is a very, very important part of that equation and making sure that you choose it responsibly. And yeah, you know, not fully compromising your emotion. You know, that's one of the reasons why we always have preached at the auto show and all the time that I spent there. The auto show makes an incredible amount of sense for people when they're in the looking stage of a vehicle. Because if you're comparing a Chevy to a Ford to a Honda to a Nissan to a Toyota, well, that means in the regular world, that's 5 stops at 5 dealers. Whereas if you go to the auto show, you've got Honda and Toyota and Chevy and Ford and Nissan, everybody all within a couple of minute walk of each other on the floor. And all of the people who are manning those booths are not only schooled up in what it is that they're selling, but I'll bet you a dollar to a donut that the person that's on the Toyota stand knows what's going on with all of their competitors.
Sure.
And they're going to be, if you've got a question for those people, and you might often get a question back from them saying, what else are you looking for? and the product specialists at the show are now, you know, the year of, you know, swirling bimbos on turntables doesn't happen anymore. It's just not out there. You know, it's much more likely that you've got a very unintimidating, relatable character, whether it's a guy or a woman, who's on that stage and with that car, and most likely in a golf shirt, a pair of khakis or something like that, rather than in some Oscar de la Oscar gown. You know, those people are very, very important to the sales strategy for manufacturers, because, I mean, think of all of the advertising that anybody, it doesn't matter whether it's a car or if it's a blender or whatever it might be, a cologne, choose your category. What that advertising is trying to do is to get you interested enough to go to the store and consider it. So if you've moved someone at the auto show to the point of consideration of your vehicle, to the point where you're going to walk up and say, is this available with whatever it might be that you're looking for? They want to have, the manufacturer wants to make sure that that contact point is as positive and as informative as they can possibly make it, because people form their opinions very, very quickly of big companies by little touches. And that's a really important part of the auto show equation these days that wasn't that way before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm sure there are some times when some little feature that really wasn't that, doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but it's something that somebody got really excited about and ended up buying maybe a $30,000 car because of this one incredible feature that they just fall in love with. And you never really know what the feature is. That's the only problem, right? So,
well, there's some of them that really annoy me, too. I'm driving this. I happen to be driving a BMW M5 this week, and I had it on a Jaguar here a couple of weeks ago as well, the one I mentioned. And it's got this technology where if you just veer off the line just a little bit, there are sensors and cameras actually in the front bumpers where it looks like if you're kind of wandering out of your lane, it will vibrate the steering wheel so it thinks, well, maybe he's falling asleep.
Wow.
And so the steering wheel will go, nah, you'll get a little bit of that. And I guess if you were on a 400-mile drive, you know, heading up to Hayward, Wisconsin to do some fishing and whatever, you're getting a little bit tired out. You go, oh, man, I don't know.
Is it something you could turn on and off, or is it just automatic?
No, it defaults to that as soon as you start it the first time. So you have to shut it off.
I see. Okay.
Every time.
Wow.
Which is what I've come to do.
I mean, I guess that's the dangerous thing about having a car or anything, even a website or anything like this. Like, how do you know when it's done? You know, how do you know when? Oh, maybe if we could just add one more little. How about a button over there? Can we squeeze that in there? What if we can make, you know, something that'll brush your hair while you're driving, or, you know, you can text messages somehow while you're speaking and it'll text something. I mean, you know.
I had a guy from a manufacturer call me and he was talking about this. New tech is so cool. What we've got is a thing that'll take a voice command and it'll turn it into a text message, and then it sends it to the recipient, and then the recipient gets the text message and their car turns it into voice. And I took about three beats and I said, isn't that called a telephone call?
Right, exactly. That's so funny. Yeah, technology is definitely a double-edged sword. If it doesn't make my life easier, I don't need to have a Panda Roomba cleaning my floors here just because, hey, I can do it, you know. So if you would like
you
to listen.
You may be onto something, though. May be onto something.
I think we'll have to work on that.
I like the Roomba for your car. It's good.
Yes, the Carba. Maybe we could work on that.
Yeah, we'll talk to the WeatherTech guys, the ComEd people. I bet Dave McNeil would be all over that.
That might just work out. And if you'd like to listen to Paul Bryant's fabulous Drive Chicago show, it's Saturday morning, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. on WLS, which is 890 a.m. And their website, you can also listen to anywhere in the world, which is WLSAM.com. And if you'd like to email Paul directly, any questions about cars at all, he is the absolute expert. It is Paul Bryan, B-R-I-A-N, at drivechicago.com. com. So be sure to tune into the show. You can email him and go through
their
website.
You know what? Yeah, you can do that, or even if you just go on Drive Chicago, there's a little Ask Paul icon you can click on, too. So that,
okay.
That will take it right to you.
Perfect, perfect. So let's jump into some other questions that we have here as well. And yeah, as you mentioned earlier, you said gas prices are getting close to $5. Do you feel that more and more couples are now downsizing to just one car as a result?
I think they're trying to. I think they're finding it terribly hard to do that just because of the way that work is structured these days.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, you know, some people working two jobs just to keep up and everything else. So they're pretty much tied to two. But, everybody's trying to find better solutions to high fuel costs. And I just find it so sad because we've got so much fuel here in the United States, we just don't have the resolve to go get it. We've got natural gas, and we are the Saudi Arabia. We are the Middle East. We are the kings of, you know, through some gracious act of the Lord, somehow he said, okay, this is where we're going to put natural gas. And natural gas, we have like 125 or 150 years supply of it here. And I can't say that it's the end-all fuel, but I am saying that it's going to work great until we find out, you know, when we get to that point when Scotty is making dilithium crystals that we can put in there and we're on. It's a great stair-step fuel. It's a wonderful cleaner. It's affordable. It's abundant. It's ours. It creates jobs. It's better for the environment. It's got all of these things going on. Mm-hmm. And you've got a bunch of naysayers out there who say, well, you know, there's not a lot of infrastructure for it. Well, wait a minute here. Are you telling me that here we are, the country that beat Imperial Japan and Nazi Germany, and we're not doing this because we don't have a couple of gas stations? Hello?
Right, right. There's a desire. We always find a way to get it done.
Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm.
And we've got, think of the amount of money that we ship out of this country on an annual basis. Why? Well,
right.
Because that's the way the infrastructure is set up right now. Wow, it took about 100 years for that to happen. When the Rockefellers of the world back a century ago were saying, you know what, we can get by this kerosene thing, we can make this gasoline stuff, and why don't we make some gas stations?
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden it happened. I mean, my God, we've got 1,300 natural gas refueling stations in the United States. Do you know that there's almost 10,000 of them in Pakistan?
Hmm.
So we're saying, wait a minute, Pakistan is handing us our lunch on this fuel? Pakistan? Really? So, that's the situation. But you know, getting back to the original point, people are trying to do everything they can because energy costs kill off more disposable income for Americans than any other single item.
I know the hybrid cars are certainly something that a lot of people are very interested in. They're very popular. And is that a trend that you'll think that will only continue to evolve and eventually all cars are going to be required to be hybrid or maybe electric cars?
No. Well, electrics, 10 years ago were about 2% of the market.
Mm-hmm.
And electrics now are about 2.1% of the market. The problem is that electric is A, pretty darn expensive. B, everybody gets range anxiety. They're worried about going from place to place and will I run out of battery? You can't take it for a long run. And its total carbon footprint, when you get right down to it, is just about on equal par with gasoline. So does it make a lot of people feel better? Yeah, it does. But, in the end game, does it really contribute all that much?
So it's a bit of a trade-off. In one sense, you're saving from the gas, but in another sense, you're kind of getting a little stuck because there's other things that you have to take into consideration.
And it costs more, too. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, remember for a long time, the equation was always that you had to drive a hybrid for about 3.5 years at 15,000 miles or 15,000 miles for about 3.5 years before the graph lines crossed to where the savings you got on fuel exceeded the additional cost that you had from purchasing the hybrid. So you had to spend more, and the thing didn't start paying you back until 3.5 years into the mission with 15,000 miles per year. So, you know, those things are starting to draw a little bit closer. That payback is getting a little bit quicker right now. But I still am, you know, I keep coming back to this. You're going to hear this from me. And I think that diesel is a better answer than hybrid. I think that the Germans are handing us our lunch on diesel. If you take a look at the clean diesel technology that Audi has, that Volkswagen has, that Mercedes has, that BMW has,
mm-hmm.
they're just orders of magnitude in front of us. And why? Well, why is we still have a lot of people who harken back to the first OPEC gas crisis in 73, 74, and it's hard to think about that right now, saying, oh, God, 4 years ago? Yeah. The lingering memory of General Motors building diesels out of Chevrolet and Oldsmobile engines, which mm-hmm. were never really designed from the ground up to be diesels, and they were noisy, and they were dirty, and they smelled bad. Oh, man, it was a nightmare Turkish jail. It was bad. But now, I mean, with technology the way it is right now, there are a lot of times I'll get a diesel car to test, and I'll put people into that and just go for a ride and say, okay, we're done for the ride. What was different? What was different about this car? And they go, oh, well, you mean about the radio? Or you mean about the interior? It just never occurs to them that they're in a diesel-powered car. It's that transparent, and you have to remember that diesel fuel is further down the food chain in terms of the refining process. That makes a whole lot more sense. I'd rather see us go all diesel than go all hybrid.
Okay.
And,
great. There's a bunch of questions I definitely wanted to get to and everything like that. So we're going to just kind of run through a bunch of these different things. And that's
a lightning round?
Okay. Something like that. So when purchasing a car, how is the financial process different than when you're buying a car by yourself? When you've got two parties, you know, buying the same car, one has a higher credit score, maybe one can contribute more money to it. Are they both liable for payments, or how does that go about in terms of the balance for doing
that? Well, there should be no difference in the purchasing of the vehicle. There may be a difference in the financing of the vehicle. But the actual purchase price for a buyer, whether the buyer is financing or not financing, is the same. Having said that, let me see. If a car is going to get financed via the dealer, they do participate sometimes in a holdback of the reserve, the difference between what they pay for money and what they sell the money for. So they might be able to move a little bit lower on the price of the car because they'll make some. They'd rather make the deal and get it off their books and make a little bit less money than not have the deal at all. So, but. In pure forms, if you've got buyer A and buyer B and they're all walking in to buy a particular car and they're just going to write a check for it, period. And financing, when you bring your financing from outside the dealership, that's all that dealer really cares about.
Okay.
Because they're going to get paid the exact same thing. The number should be the same irregardless, God, put a gun to my head. You know, I have never said that, and I school people. I apologize. Irrespective of where the money is sourced, the number should be
okay. And do you find that parents' buying habits has influenced the way people buy cars themselves? I mean, like,
I think that dynamic used to be stronger when I was a kid. We were a Ford family, or we're a GM family, or we were Chevy people.
Right.
And Joneses over there, they were Ford people. I don't think that you see that kind of familial loyalty that existed back then. And probably is just because the market is so much more fragmented than what it was back then.
There's so many different options now, and the American cars have caught up to some of the foreign cars in a lot of ways.
And who'd ever think that we'd be saying that?
Right. It took a long time, and we had to go through a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, think about that. You know, I remember Bob Lutz, who was vice chairman of General Motors at one point. He said, if we work really hard in 5 or 10 years, we might be able to build a car as good as the Japanese. What? You know, it was such a wake-up. It was an astounding wake-up. But it was true.
Yeah.
It was true. I mean, we had really gotten to the point that when people wanted to buy a quality car, they were looking to Germany, or they were looking to Japan, and they weren't looking to what we domestically call the Big Three.
And when is it a good time to lease a car as opposed to outright buying a new or used car?
If I were leasing a car, I would lease it toward the beginning of its life cycle rather than toward the end of it. Or even the year model.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And the reason why I want to do that is that the residual value on that vehicle is established as a, let's say it's a 2013, and you're going to have a three-year lease on that car. So it's going to be a 16 when it comes back. The people who write those residuals, let's say you got it at the end of that year. Let's say you got one toward the end of the 13 year. When it comes in, it's going to be at the end of the 16 year, almost at 17. So then you've got another year's worth of spread. So that's going to affect the residual value on it. So I recommend toward the beginning of the model year, or even better, the beginning of the product cycle.
Okay. And what would you say is the, is it ever a good idea to trade a car in to a dealership, and what would be the ideal circumstances for doing that?
Sure. Oh, my gosh, yes.
As opposed to selling it to, you know, some private party.
Oh, yeah.
Is everybody
selling
hates that.
Selling it yourself. Yeah, I know. Well, you know, that's exactly it. I mean, everybody goes, I'll sell it myself. Well, the first thing you got to remember is, let's say you've got a car that's worth $10,000. You're going to trade that in. You now have to figure that the value of that vehicle, you're going to have to pay the tax on that when you purchase your new car, because you only pay sales tax on the cash difference between your trade and the purchase price. Not, you're not working from ground zero. If you bring in all of your money, you sold your car and you're bringing in all of the money, that $10,000, which in our area here in Chicago, for lack of a better term, let's say it's 10% tax total between Cook County or county and state tax. So now you've got another $1,000 in tax that you're going to spend on that purchase, because you just have increased the taxable amount, so it's going to cost you a lot more. Plus, you know, these days I'm just not all that keen on putting an ad in Craigslist or eBay Motors or someplace like that. You've got some weird people out there, and you know, who's to say? There's that Allstate commercial where the guy comes out, the mayhem guy. and the mayhem guy is out there, and he's going to buy this motorcycle, and he drives it about a quarter of a block, and then wipes out the motorcycle. I'll ask you other part of that. Hey, I'm going to come drive your car. Yeah. I don't think so.
Exactly. And one of the things with couples is, of course, you know, we have different personalities that come into play. And some people, as you know, and I mean, you're probably more like me, that are very meticulous about taking care of the cars in terms of the oil changes, keeping it cleaned, well-maintained. Well, maybe your spouse is a little bit more of the nonchalant, leaves wrappers around, forgets to do oil changes, uses kind of...
A pox upon them.
Yeah.
Yeah, a pox upon you. I mean, your car, you know, I don't know. I cannot abide a car with a dirty interior. The outside drives me nuts. I'm the guy who, you know, washes a car on Saturday, and if it's sprinkled a little bit, I'm going to wash it again on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you have a black car or a white car, boy, there's nothing that looks better with a brand new car than a black or white car, but there's nothing that looks worse than a black or white car, and it does require some extra maintenance to do that, but it's always worth it, I think, you know? And people say, like, why are you going to, you know, get a car wash when it's going to get dirty again? Well, we take showers every day, right?
Those things matter when you do trade in a car. I mean, do get all of the services. Keep records on that. And when you come in, you know, and there's a lot to be said about maintaining a relationship with the dealer that you work with and get your car serviced with. I've never understood people who will drive 100 miles away to save 50 or 75 bucks on a car deal. And they go, well, I can get it serviced anywhere. Well, yeah, you can. But you know what? For 50 bucks or 75 bucks, I want that guy in my corner for the next 3 or 4 years that I'm owning this vehicle.
Yeah.
And when you do bring it in, they know that you bought the car there. And you know, are you going to get serviced depending on where you purchased it? Well, sure you will, but you know what, you could probably get a little extra swing if you're working with somebody that's close by. And you develop a relationship with that dealer. And often it really plays a great role in letting that dealer help move you down the line and move you into new vehicles as they get older. They know the car, they know you know them. You know, it's not like somebody can tell you that I've got a great service department. They say, well, hey, you've been living with our service department for 3 years. You know that we're good.
Exactly, and that's a big thing that I always tell our clients with our music company is that it's not just, you know, signing a contract and then some band is just going to show up for 6 hours.
Yeah.
You're getting a full, we have a ceremony department, we have a sound department, we have, you know, we take care of all the emceeing, all the announcement. We have, you know, so you're really buying into the dealership and the relationship that you're getting with that dealership or a music company is that something that's going to be there for a long haul, not just for that particular 6 hours, but anything you need from the time you sign a contract until the very last note or from the time you sign a contract and you pull off the lot there, you want to know that someone's got your back. And when you buy it just from some guy down the street or Craigslist or some random dealership, you know, on Western Avenue, you're not necessarily going to get somebody who's going to be there when the chips are really down and who's going to stand by their work. So it's very important.
You want to make sure that the David Rothstein, David's percussion section is for real and not the Bucket Boys from State.
Exactly. So, I mean, there's nothing more expensive than free, right? So when you think you're getting some incredible deal and then all of a sudden, you know, 2 months later, you've got some $3,000 bill, repair bill, did you really save money as opposed to going to a dealership and buying it from an actual dealership that's been around for, you know, 20, 30 years that's going to be there for you?
And someone who's got an investment in the community. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, you can find, used car lots and stuff like that if you go up Western or Cicero Avenue or different areas around the city, at least here in Chicago. But, I mean, you can always find that. But folks who have got brick-and-mortar investments in the city really do make a difference. They are very interested in being a living breathing part of the community and mm-hmm. not just a place. I mean, they want you to be a repeat customer. They just don't want to, you know, oh man, I got an extra $100 off that. I feel
right.
so good about that.
Right, no, they're a little lady. Right, exactly.
Yeah, you know, that doesn't work.
And yeah.
you know, these guys, you know, they, you know, who's the first door that people knock on for charities? It's always the car dealers, right? Whether it's a Little League team or a fundraiser mm-hmm. or whatever. I mean, they want to establish those ties to the community. I think it's very worthwhile.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also, you know, nowadays with all the different review sites and stuff like that, it's no longer, you know, if somebody's not treated right, it's not just that person. They have access to with Facebook and Twitter to access favorably or unfavorably all their friends' friends, and that's how you really build your reputation over a long period of time. So it's always in your best interest because you don't want to sell one car. You want to sell...
Three or four cars,
and then
the experience, then they're going to send their cousin and their uncle and
yeah.
mom and dad are going to come by.
Absolutely. In the same way, we've played probably a dozen families where we played at least two of their daughters' weddings, and we had a father of the bride where we played for all three daughters' weddings, and he said, David, all these weddings are taking me to a new chapter in my life, chapter 13. I thought that was kind of
cute. Let me run this one by you. Just a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
But have you ever played a wedding for the same person, two different weddings?
I have not done that. We did have a couple where I played for the parents' wedding, and they were 74 and 68. They met on Match.com, and I had played for her son's wedding 6 years ago. That's a new one, and we had another couple where she found out that the guy was cheating on her, so she took the deposit and just had a big old party, you know. So there's definitely some variations, and when you do this long enough, you see a lot of different things.
Oh,
but I haven't seen the we don't usually have a repeat customer kind of format there, but it is. Always a lot of fun, and that's what keeps me. We're celebrating our 13th anniversary this year, and it's really important to be constantly growing and to be learning and to be doing things that really do make a difference and help build that relationship, and not just make it selling that one car. It really is about making sure that everybody involved in the car buying experience really does care about that customer over a long period of time, and that's how you build relationships, and that's how, when you do the math and everything, that's how you build a company that really makes a difference, and that's really
hey,
what
I'm
after.
Before we run out of here, I do want to mention as well, one of the things that endears me personally to the community a lot is activities that I have with veteran affairs and military affairs that are very, very important to me.
Okay.
And I do want to take a moment to ask people
sure.
to visit a very important website. It's the A.J. Lynch Foundation. A.J. Lynch is Al Lynch, who is a Medal of Honor recipient Vietnam era. And he has graciously invited me onto his board, and we've got an event coming up May 20th, which is a Sporting Clays event.
Mm-hmm.
The website is ajlynchfoundation.org, and it's going to be a very, very cool affair, and it helps vets in need. It helps people who it really just laid it on the line. You raise your hand and you write a blank check to the people of the United States that it's payable up to and including their life. That's something that needs to be honored. It needs to be talked about. And that's my point. That's all.
That's great. And also, if you'd like to follow up on that, everybody, be sure to email Paul directly at paulbryan@drivechicago.com, and he'll be more than happy to give you some more information about that. And be sure to listen to his radio show, which is Drive Chicago, and that's on Saturday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 890 a.m., which is WLS Radio. And you can listen online anywhere in the world. And I remember you had said you had people in Kazakhstan that have been listening to the show through the website, which is WLSAM.com. And also
actually, Kazakhstan, Waziristan, Kurdistan, and Afghanistan. I had the opportunity to embed with the 101st Airborne for a couple of years ago, and we got a pretty nifty little enclave of listeners and guys who are when I'm on the air here at 8 a.m. it's 6:30 p.m. in Afghanistan, so a lot of the guys are sitting around in this hall, and they'll flip it on and listen online that way. It's a lot of fun. Sometimes I'll get a call from them.
That's fantastic, and that's where technology really comes into play in terms of bringing people together, and technology certainly allows me to have this show and to have great guests like you, Paul, from all over the country be a part of this, and listeners from all over the country and all over the world be able to connect together. So the work that you've done out there and continue to do is absolutely fantastic, and I'm sure makes a difference for a lot of people that they have that kind of connection to things that are happening here in Chicago, and certainly learning a lot about automobiles. If you guys are considering getting a car in the next year or whenever you're ready, be sure to also visit drivechicago.com. There's lots of information. Paul will definitely be happy to give you some points in the right direction if you describe the type of vehicle you're looking for, what some of the trends are, and cars are just certainly a big part of the American culture, and I think always will be. For a lot of people, they wrap their identity up into their car. I mean, what would Batman be without the Batmobile, right? And what would be what would all the midlife crisis people would be without their red sports cars and everything, or the
Hey, easy.
exactly.
Miss Helga is very temperamental.
I got you. The 5'2" guy with a giant Hummer that is driving around Chicagoland. So, it is an expression of who we are. And when you are a new married couple, you do have to adapt to the needs of each other and to the tastes of each other and styles of each other. So, the biggest point I think, as Paul and I were discussing, is as you are now a married couple, it is important to sit down well before you go to any website, before you go to any dealerships, and talk about what your lifestyles are like. What are the needs that you have for a car? Do you need one car? Do you need two cars? Do you want to have a hybrid? Do you need four-door? And what do you anticipate your lives being like in the next 2 to 3 years? So look a little bit forward in terms of what you're going to need, not just now, but also what you have coming up and what you anticipate your lives being. So there's a lot of great information. The Drive Chicago show Saturday mornings at WLSAM at 8 a.m. to 9 is a fantastic resource. And I'd like to thank our fantastic guest, Paul Bryan of Drive Chicago, for being on the show. Thanks for being here.
You're most welcome. Thank you for inviting me, David.
And if you'd like to find out some more information about our music company, you can go to our website, which is drsmusic.com, and we can take care of all the ceremony, cocktails, dinner, dancing for you as well. We do incredibly customizing events, so you can really get something designed just for you. And if you'd like to listen to this broadcast as well as any of the other broadcasts that we've done on our Wedding 101 radio show, they are all archived and they're categorized. So if you're looking for a florist, you can listen to John Hensley from Heffron Morgan. If you're looking for a great cake maker, you can listen to Mary Winslow from Cake. So there's a lot of information. I hope you go through all the shows and you find them helpful. And most importantly, you're able to apply them to your specific wedding and to your vision of what your wedding is going to be like. And remember to make your wedding as meaningful, as authentic, and unique to who you are as possible. And we hope you're able to find the perfect car that gets you where you need to go. And be sure to maintain it. That is a big portion.
Keep
it clean.
Don't drive to your wedding. Have somebody else drive.
Exactly. Yeah, that's always. And definitely do not text or drink and drive or any of those things. All those things can wait. Drive safely. Wear your seatbelts. Get car washes, oil changes, and your car will be your best friend. Right, Paul?
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening.
This is my car. There are many like them, but this one is mine.
This is mine. Exactly. Maybe you can say that about your spouse, too, right? Exactly.
Absolutely. Thank you, David.
Thanks so much, Paul, and to everybody for listening. We want to wish you all the best for an absolutely amazing wedding. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.